With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Personally, the doctrine of stewardship has been of inestimable value, the biblical doctrine of stewardship in my personal life, and I will tell you why. I think personally and pastorally, there is no other doctrine in Scripture that is more helpful, that is more insightful, and that is more reliable for a Christian to find out where they are in relationship to Christ and the gospel than the doctrine of stewardship.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, Found Faithful, as we conclude our series on lifestyle stewardship. The slogan of the U.S. Marine Corps, Semper Fi, is a shortened form of the Latin phrase, Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful. Every Marine strives to manifest this quality in their character, and every Christian is called to manifest this quality in their commitment to lifestyle stewardship. Are you striving to be found always faithful in fulfilling your calling as a steward, servant, and soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Here again is Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, Found Faithful.
How do you embrace stewardship as a lifestyle? Look at that text in front of us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Here's what he says. He says this is how one should regard us. How is it that Paul wanted to be identified in this world? He wanted to be identified with Christ. My identity is Christ. And when you see me, think servant. The word is doulos. It means bondservant. Think servant. When you see me, servant of Christ. Notice, Paul does not identify himself apart from Christ, but with Christ. Notice, Paul does not identify his relationship with Christ from his sins before Christ. He doesn't say, think of me as what? Terrorist for Christ. Christian killer for Christ. Church destroyer for Christ. No, those things that he had confessed and repented of, he left behind. Nor did he say, think of me as Pharisee for Christ. Remember, the adjective controls the noun. And so when he says, think of me as a Christian. And when you think of me as a Christian, don't put anything in front of it. When you think of me, I am a Christian, for to me to live is Christ. I don't identify with my sins. And folks, I don't know about you, but as I grew in grace and as I've been growing in grace, whenever God shows me a sin and convicts me of its sinfulness, the last thing I want to do is for people to identify me with that sin. I want to ask God for the grace that forgives me of that sin to help me kill that sin in thought, word, and deed. And listen, I love my country. I think I've shown that to you, and I want to encourage you. I'm like the reformers. Give me Scotland or I die. Give me America. I'm for that. But notice Paul doesn't say, when you regard me, think of me as a Jewish Christian. No, his life is in Christ. Christ is his life. He's identified with Christ. And when you think of me, what is my calling? My calling is servant. I am a servant of Christ. Is he a saint for Christ? Yes. But he says, when you see me, I want you to see someone who out of love is there to serve Christ because this Christ has served me. I love him because he first loved me. And when he loved me, he set me free so that now it's no longer about me. We don't lay up things for myself. Now I'm a servant of Christ. Now, what is your vocation, Mr. Servant for Christ? I'm a steward. Now, Paul's stewardship was built around his calling as an apostle. He had been entrusted with divine revelation, the mysteries of God. He was part of giving us the fulfillment of God's word. He not only would preach and disciple and all of those other things, but he would also have his particular gift, his gift that he has of being an apostle and everything related to it. So I am a steward, he says. That's what we are. We are stewards in our servanthood. Now, can I give y'all, if you'll help me put this all this stuff together for a moment? How do you know if you're making progress that Christ is your life and you are a servant of Christ and you're living that out as a steward? Can I tell you how? There will be a verbal giveaway. There will be a vocabulary indicator. You quit referring to anything as yours. Stewards own nothing. They're owned. Servants own nothing. They're owned. We have been bought with a price. And it is no longer we who live, but Christ that lives in us. Now, the mine is replaced by his. It's not my business. That's his. I know Frank would be the first one to tell you. We don't think of Briarwood as our church. It's his. We're just servants, stewards. We've been given gifts. That's what we are. I don't own Cindy. I have been granted the privilege to serve Christ as her husband. My children aren't mine, they're his. Our house isn't ours, it's his. There's your giveaway as to your progress in discipleship. I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but I don't know any other place. I've got to do it because of where I am right now. We're going into next year. Stewardship's going to stay with us, but we're bringing a focus. 2 years ago, when I started 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I asked you, and I know all of you remember this from 2 years ago, so please forgive me for telling you again, but just in case you forgot, I said there's three ways I want you to think of stewardship. Be a steward of your relationships for Christ. Be a steward of your responsibilities for Christ. And be a steward of your resources for Christ. Now, this morning, we're going to take a few moments on three of those resources. Time, talents, treasure. People have been doing it a long time. I can't improve on it. See, I want you to think bigger on stewardship. I want to be a Christ-honoring servant who stewards my responsibilities in life. Harry, where do I start there? Can I give you a help? Every place you took a vow before God, prioritize that. For me, I took an ordination vow. We took church membership vows. You take baptismal vows. Wherever you take a sacred oath, that is a priority in responsibilities and relationships. A steward of responsibilities, a steward of relationships. I took vows in my marriage. That becomes a stewarding responsibility and a stewarding relationship. Then I want to be a steward of my resources. Today, all of us got the same 24 hours in this day. Now, what are we going to do with it? Will we steward it as servants of Christ? Or will we use it for ourselves? But now, what about talents? Talents, there are two types of talents you have. You've got physical talent. You'll note that on your card, there's a place for time, There's a place for talents, and there's a place for the treasure. Where I want to do this coming year, under the approval of our session, is to do a deep dive on talents. One part of it, not so much your physical and mental talents that you have by virtue of creation. I want to do a deep dive with you on something every single one of you have that is unique. Every single one of you have something that's unique. You just confessed it a few moments ago from 1 Peter chapter 4. Be stewards of the gifts that have been given to you in God's varied grace. God's grace has uniquely fashioned a spiritual gift for every single one of you. So next year, our focus in lifestyle stewardship is zeroing in on spiritual gifts. I want to call it right now, 3D body life. We're members of the body of Christ, right? Hello, y'all still there? I'm actually going to quit early, so hang with me, all right? So every one of us are members of the body of Christ. Every one of us have a place that is non-duplicated by anyone else. You have a unique, sovereignly designed gift. Nobody else has, and every one of you are important. So what I want to do is 3D body life in spiritual gifts. I want us to discover our spiritual gift. I want us to take steps to start developing our spiritual gifts. And then number 3, start deploying your spiritual gift. Either in ministry from Briarwood outside or ministries within. That'll depend on your gifts. So that's where we're going to be throughout the entire year. In fact, I'll go further. We're going to go to God's Word to discover, develop, and deploy. There's 4 more texts we're going to. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. Those are going to be the key texts for spiritual gifts, as the 2 texts on stewardship set us up to go there. So that's where we're headed next year, that we can understand that. Now, can I tell you why that's very important to me? That's very important to me because, now listen to this, I want you to know there is a method to the madness, or a madness to the method. I'm not sure which it is, but here's the reason. You can't discover, develop, and deploy your spiritual gifts without getting committed to discipleship. You've got to get into not only large group preaching triggered discipleship, but small group life on life discipleship. So this has got to filter down into the communities and into the small groups. Because, see, I know that this will enhance our disciple making, which is what the church is called to do, make disciples until Jesus comes again. This has got to be done because there's no way you can discover, develop, and deploy your gifts without discipleship taking place within our lives and in our ministries. So that's where we're headed. But just a couple of final thoughts for today about basic principles of stewardship of time, talents, and treasure. Well, here's the first thing. I've already mentioned it to you. Here's the first thing. Your identification is Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you, and you want people to see you as a servant. You carry that servanthood out through being a steward. We own nothing. He owns everything because he owns us. And we have a metric to measure. We have an objective to achieve as servant stewards. What is our objective? We want to be found faithful. Now look, found is out there in the future when Paul writes. What is he anticipating? He's anticipating the coming of Christ. When we all appear at the judgment seat, and as believers, we stand at the judgment seat with a stewardship judgment. And what do we want our judge, who is also our Savior, who already has given us the verdict there, innocent, justified, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But what about the evaluation of our stewardship? What is it that you can see what Paul is doing here? He's sending you back to Jesus. When Jesus brings you to the stewardship judgment, he says that in that day, his people, they desire to hear what phrase? What is it we want to hear on that day when we stand before him as believers, justified by his blood, clothed with his righteousness? What is it we want to hear on our stewardship evaluation? I hear you say it all the time. You know what it is. Well done. Good and faithful. You see him calling on that? We want to be found faithful. Well done. I mean, let me ask you, if you're walking around the school where your child goes to school and your child's on the playground and talking with some friends, they don't know you're there, you're standing around the corner, and one of the friends says to your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, hey, what kind of daddy do you have? What kind of mama you got? How about your granddaddy? What do you want him to hear? What do you want to hear him say? How about if you heard him say, mediocre? I mean, you want to hear, oh man, my daddy. Oh, my mother. Now, I understand you don't highly anticipate it till years later, but what you want to hear, what is it we want to hear our Father say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Harry, I haven't done well. Well, let's start today. How can I be a good steward of my time? How can I be a good steward of my talents? How can I be a good steward of these resources, these treasures God's given to me? Let me just give you three takeaways. Here's your three takeaways. Number one is this. I call it the principle of maximizing. I actually called it maximization, but somebody in the lobby told me that wasn't a word. But that's never stopped me before. The principle of maximization. How do you maximize your stewardship? Can I tell you how? Gospel discipleship. That's how. When the gospel gets hold of your heart, your stewardship flourishes. When you know what it means to be saved by Christ in the relentless, unstoppable, irresistible love of Christ, then you love him. And when you love him, you keep his commandments. Can I tell you what doesn't maximize stewardship? Guilt. Now, I've got some good guilt illustrations, but here's what I know. Guilt always minimizes. People do just enough to shut the preacher up. And I'm fine for guilt. Guilt gets our attention. I think it does have a purpose, but it's not motivation. Maximizing stewardship comes when you see the love of Christ for you, who gave everything. He didn't sing surrender all. He surrendered all to save you and me. All to him I owe. I praise his name for what he's done, and I know it is grasping the gospel. In fact, I believe stewardship is a good metric to tell ourselves how much we understand the gospel in terms of how we are living with our time, talents, and treasure. So to maximize, you want to be a product of life. The lifestyle stewardship is the result of being laid hold of and discipled by the gospel of saving grace in Christ. You see, you realize I am not my own. Not only do I not own anything, I'm not my own. I am his. He is mine. Everything that I have is from him. I am what I am by the grace of God. So if I am not my own, but he owns me, I've been bought with a price, glorify God in your body, then how in the world can I treat the things he's entrusted to me as if I owned them? I just need to go to His Word and be led by His Spirit as to how to deal with them rightly. Secondly, maturation, principle of maturation. God's given you some excellent instruments to help you maximize. These are beginning points. These are what I call divinely designed training wheels of stewardship. What's a divinely designed training wheel for the stewardship of time? Can I give you what it is? It's the Lord's Day. I didn't make man for the Sabbath. I made Sabbath for the man. Why? It sets the template for every day. The Lord's Day sets the foundation and the capitalization and the motivation for every day. Stewardship is worship. And the Lord's Day helps me govern every day. By the way, the reverse is true. If I can't get the Lord's Day right, everything else is going to be hit and miss. But the Lord's Day becomes that template. That's an asset He's given to you. Let me give you a second asset for your talents, is the cultivation of joy. Do you know when you begin to steward your spiritual gifts? I mean, folks, I just get so excited thinking about next year, discovering, developing, and deploying, because here's what I know is going to happen. Your joy. You know what you're going to find out? When I begin to see my spiritual gift, discover it, develop it, and deploy it, you know what happens? You and I are going to find out to another whole level, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more joyful to minister than to be ministered to. That doesn't mean it's not joy to have ministry in my life. Praise God. But what I really begin to get the joy is when I begin to use the gift God's given me to serve Him in the lives of others. Let me give you a third help. I gave you just a little help to get started in maturation on time, stewardship of time, it's the Lord's Day. A little bit on maturation of your spiritual gifts, that is cultivating joy that comes from giving and a lifestyle of giving of your gifts and your abilities in the lives of others. But let me give you a third one. What about the finances? It's simple. Tithe. The tithe. The tithe is the training wheels. It's not the pinnacle, it's the training wheels to get us started. In fact, He says, do not rob me. See, here's your first principle. It's not mine. The tithe's not mine. Listen to Bruce. Let's give God when at that moment in the worship service. We're not going to rob God. We're going to bring into the storehouse. We're going to bring in the context of worship. We're going to bring God's tithe and our offerings. This is His. And so He's teaching me that the tithe is His, setting up the training wheels where I can understand I live with everything else to me as if it's His. How would He have me deal with the other 90%? And if I can't get the tithe right, I know people say, well, Pastor, when I make a little bit more money, I'll start. No, you won't. I'm a living proof of that. Listen, if you can't be faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. You'll just have more reasons not to be. Found faithful with the tithe begins to set it up for everything else and how to use the financial resources, a house, a home, a car, the bank account, the retirement account. How do I use all of that in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that's consistent with His Word? Let me give you the third takeaway, and then we'll close in prayer. Here's the third takeaway. The third takeaway is this: avoid minimization. Here's the tendency. We get the training wheels and we think that's the end instead of the beginning. I'm a 10% Christian. God has 10%, but the other 90 is mine. No. The tithe was set up to teach the 90 what to do with the 90%. The Lord's Day was there to teach you what to do with the other six. That's not where we stop. That's where we start. Those are the training wheels. Maximization, you're motivated by the love of God through the gospel of Christ. Maturation, you take advantage of the godly designed instruments to help you develop as a steward in time, talents, and treasure. Avoid minimalization by not stopping at the training wheels. That you have a glorious movement in your life that's growing year by year by year by year. I'll just simply remember, if we understand this, Stewards own nothing. And the key to surrendering all is to surrender yourself. We'll never surrender all till we've surrendered ourselves. I surrender all. I love the verse. I love it. We sing it all the time growing up. I surrender all. But here's what I've come to know. I won't surrender all, and I haven't surrendered anything until I surrender to Him. Maybe you're here today and you haven't surrendered yet to the one who surrendered everything to go to the cross and laid it aside to save you from your sins. But for His people now who have surrendered to Him, how is God leading you in this season as we grow in the grace of stewardship, getting insights where we are in our life, growing by God's grace?
Are you striving to be found always faithful in fulfilling your calling as a steward, servant, and soldier of our Lord Jesus Christ? If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Found Faithful, or simply ask for message number 16424. Again, that's message number 16424. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. That includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Visit us online at briarwood.org. Just like liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as motivation, mission, and message, revoiced theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.